You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
I'm Paddy Garin. This is the fucking news on the wire.
That was Eve Lawrence of the Haka Tourism Group speaking on the 2020 budget. And now, the New Zealand Defence Force has been provided with a boost. $1.7 billion have been allocated from the 2020 budget to go towards defence in operational and capital funding. Producer Louis Laws got in touch with the Minister of Defence, Ron Mark, to discuss this investment from the government.
I'm very pleased. Right from the outset, we made a very strong commitment, the coalition government, through the coalition agreement to the $20 billion capability plan, and this pretty much in recognition of the issues that we're facing as identified in the strategic defence policy statement. That if you look at the state of the defence force as it was when we came into government, it wasn't good. I've been the strongest critic of defence and defence expenditure for the last 20 years. And I was determined right from the outset to put that all right, and that's what we're doing.
Now, over the past few budgets, with the strong backing from the coalition government, we've seen the greatest increase of defence funding in decades. A total of $4.3 billion has been allocated in operational and capital funding in the past three budgets. So why this increase?
Well, I guess I think we all recognise that the Defence Force is a very important player when it comes to supporting the resilience of New Zealand, protecting our interests, protecting our assets, and playing its part in the global scene with respect to our security partners. All of these have been recognised by this government. We've known for a long time we had a block obsolescence problem. We've known for a long time that the P-8s were come to the end of their life, that the Hercs had come to the end of their life, that the frigates needed upgrading, that we'd lost capability, or the loss of a dive hydro vessel, the loss of the Manawanui, that there were a range of problems in the defence real estate. If you look at all of our real estate, much of it was built around Second World War, a lot of it before that. Parts of our estate, I think 80% of our estate is reaching the end of its useful life. And these are serious problems that had to be addressed. So I'm very pleased that the coalition government has accepted that responsibility and has attacked it.
As you said, resilience and this overall being for the security of New Zealand is one of the big emphases that you have with the Defence Force. And one of these things that you launched in July 6th of 2018 was the Strategic Defence Policy Statement. This recognises the crucial role that defence plays, with a strong emphasis on climate change and our environment. So over the past 4 years, what has been the response from this? Has progress been made?
Oh, look, it's been massive, and the response back from the public has been massive. I guess if I'm pleased that you raised the Strategic Defence Policy Statement, because I think that has been hailed internationally and both at home as being the most forward-leaning, visionary white paper ever produced by this country, and it's a realistic synopsis of where we sit today. And for the first time ever, I've identified climate change as a strategic threat and something that we need to factor in when planning and building and deploying our military. And how's it rolled out? Well, the Strategic Defence Policy Statement is framed around community, nation and world and our obligations in each of those spheres. And we've played a massive part. If you look through the deployments over the last 2 years, I think last year, Defence completed 54 named operations in 1 year, including such things as the Fox River cleanup, regularly supporting DOC up in the, or down in the Antipodes, up at Raoul Island, regularly supporting GNS Science, NIWA. I think some 24 different government agencies that they've locked in behind. We've established very good relationships with Minister Sage and Minister Shaw in the Department of Conservation and the Ministry of Environment space. They understand, they have hailed and applauded the Defence Force's environmental plan and its climate change plan itself, and it's all been very well received.
Now, moving on to another question, this is criticism. There are many New Zealanders who believe this large allocation of military cost is a problem when it comes to our actual safety and security, that military expenditure does not address the major issues facing Aotearoa today. Within our own country, there are many more inadequacies that should be addressed instead. This message has probably never been more prevalent than ever this year. So what are your thoughts on this critique of military spending?
Yeah, I think it's a very small little tiny group. I think that's not a reflection anymore. I think that most thinking and astute New Zealanders who follow the Defence Force's activities know that their largest deployment has never been in Iraq or Afghanistan. It's been Antarctica, supporting the science community and trying to better understand climate change and how its effectiveness and how we could possibly mitigate it. I think they know that the role we play supporting Department of Conservation, Ministry of Environment, just two ministries, is massive. They saw what happened at White Island. They saw the military's response to the South Island floods. They applauded the deployment of the Australian bushfires and COVID-19. During that response, the Defence Force deployed into Vanuatu, Fiji and Tonga to assist with Cyclone Harold. They know that the Defence Force was heavily involved in repatriating New Zealanders as part of its response to COVID-19. I think that group of New Zealanders probably doesn't really understand the Defence Force's commitment to the environment, to the social well-being of this nation, to resilience in the way that the Green Party of New Zealand does today.
Interesting. Moving on now, and we look prior to the state of emergency that we've had in New Zealand and is currently going on with the COVID-19 pandemic. The New Zealand Defence Force were assisting in a number of humanitarian disaster relief operations, as you've said, and right. This is just around moving forward now with the virus. It is stable, but it's still a threat, very much so. And of course, with this investment now coming from the government, with some going towards the defence capabilities, what will be pivotal for the New Zealand Defence Force in future operations? Might we expect to see New Zealand help overseas?
Yeah, look, that's a good question. And I think it draws us right back to where we started. The white paper that guides and steers our direction is the Strategic Defence Policy Statement from 2018. Our commitment, as stated in there, to our strategic partners has not changed. We said then that New Zealand faced an array of complex disruptors in the region and we had an obligation to work as a good global citizen to maintain the rules-based order. We identified then the scourge of extremely violent terrorism. That hasn't gone away. It's still there. We said that we would be committed to maintaining open passages for trade and travel, freedom of navigation. That has not changed. And our commitment to Antarctica has not changed. What we identified, which was new for a defence force and has made us a world leader in this space, is recognising climate change as a severe threat to our security, not just New Zealand, but globally. Climate change hasn't gone away. We have been distracted momentarily by COVID-19, but the issues around increasing frequencies of highly disruptive weather patterns causing havoc and destruction amongst vulnerable Pacific Island nations is still with us, and we have to be prepositioned and prepared to deploy and respond. We are responsible for 11% of the planet's surface. There is no other nation in the world with a population of under 5 million, who has a responsibility of that size, that magnitude. We are responsible for patrolling the southern oceans and monitoring. That has not changed. We are looking to establish a new marine reserve up in the Kermadec. That has not changed. So what are we looking at in terms of humanitarian assistance, relief operations? No change. If anything, more deployments, more frequent, and the need for more capability.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.